Right, if you've got a Bible with you, you might want to open it soon. But we are going. Do we have a New International Version on that computer? Doesn't matter if we don't, because I'm going to go more to the Passion anyway. You have? Okay, that'll be good. Very good. So we've got these amazing baptisms. We've got amazing people being baptized in a while. We've got one couple that's more of a rededication because they've come into a whole new beginning in their life. And so I don't re-baptize people in terms of what a baptism is originally about, but what it is okay to do in my conscience and in my concepts of the scriptures is that a rededication is fine. And so most people are being baptized into Christ, but we have one couple that are rededicating their lives as in a fresh beginning, and they want to signify that in a baptism, and that's okay. So let's prepare to give this morning, and we'll get this rolling. Very good. So Father, we want to thank you today for the power to produce harvest, and we do that because you've given us seed to sow. Today, Lord, we sow seed. And Lord, we give of our tithes. And Lord, we give in honor of you, thanksgiving to you. And Lord, thank you for connecting us to an eternal economy. One that is not based on the gold standard, one that's not based on fiat currency, one that's not based on Bitcoin. None of these human-made things, but an eternal kingdom of heaven economy. And Lord, I thank you that you give us more and more revelation as the days, the months, the weeks go by, the years go by, that how to flow with you and how to be fully aligned with your heavenly economy. As the economies of the earth shake and move and reform, and there's crisis and difficulty for people, Lord, we thank you that you've opened our eyes to the heavenly economy. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our eyes even more. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Well, just looking at a headline from Zimbabwe the other day, some of you will know we've had a very high level of interest in Zimbabwe, and very, very close friends there, and we've about 25, 27, 28, coming up 30 years soon, actually. Haven't been there for a few years, but I think we've done about 10 trips to Zimbabwe of varying lengths. And Sally and Leah were there for 3 months at one point. Did you do 2-3 month trips to Zimbabwe or one? One, and then you did a long one into Rwanda as well, you guys, didn't you? And so, excuse me, they've had all sorts of trouble with their economy and their currency. When we first went there, I think the exchange rate was something like 14 to 1, and we thought that was extreme. 14 Zim dollars to one of ours, or one US, either one. And then the next trip it was 50, then next trip 250. Then through a range of circumstances, the economy just crashed. And the last trip, when they had their own currency, the exchange rate was 250,000 to one. But it was changing hourly. And people just became so disorientated with prices, and It was just a ridiculous situation. Then eventually they couldn't print the money quick enough to represent values. The last note I came back with was a $10 trillion note. And I think at the time when I left, I think you could buy probably a bag of groceries with it. So a $10 trillion note looks amazing, but they couldn't print it fast enough. So eventually they cancelled the currency. They went to US dollars and I think Rand, I think at times, and maybe Pula, which was the Botswana currency. And then after a while, they reintroduced, I think, government bond. I think they were called bond notes. Correct me if I'm wrong, if somebody knows about this more accurately. And then they had some degree of value. But now what's happened is there's been another some sort of crash. And on the streets, the exchange rate is 2,000 Zim dollars to one US. So they're in that process again. But here's the context of what I'm talking about. Earthly economies can be very temperamental. And when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. The scriptures say that. But if people rule and there's corruption, there's especially corruption, there's all sorts of agendas going on behind the scenes that can really destabilize currencies, and things can crash. Jesus said, when your money fails. You know. And so at the moment, the global economy is looking really interesting, fascinating to study geopolitics and global things that are going on. But the thing is, because we're now connected and aligned to Jesus and in Christ, we are connected, we can be connected to a heavenly economy that transcends all earthly economies. Doesn't mean to say we won't have challenges and various things like that, but what it does mean is we, through our giving, through our tithing, through our honoring God, through our aligning with Him, through our generosity to the poor, through etc., etc., we align ourselves to the heavenly economy and not be bound in the spirit of mammon and be restricted in that dimension. We have to operate in that dimension daily because we're exchanging dollars for food, dollars for petrol, dollars for this, dollars for that, and we're having to work with that, but there's a higher realm that in the kingdom we connect into, and that higher realm is the kingdom of God. So just as a wee context there. So I want to share briefly this morning, I'll take that word briefly back, but I want to share for about 30 minutes because we want to be transitioning out there as close to 11 o'clock as we can. I said 10 past 11, so I think we might be on target. If you've got a Bible with you, turn it to Ephesians 2 verse 1. Bring the New International Version up on the screen if you can. Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 13. Then we're going to be going to the Passion Translation of this, which reads so well, and also through into Colossians 2, 8 to 15. And so the title of the message this morning is Buried with Him, Raised with Him. And buried with Him and raised with Him. If you would take the time to study Ephesians, especially the first three or so chapters, and then into Colossians, you will read about yourself. You'll read about what you were, and you'll read about what you are now, or who you are now, in Christ. You'll also obviously read about who He is. And to really rejoice in being in Christ is learning about who He is. Wonderful thing, wonderful to go on a cruise ship, but when you see a cruise ship that is beyond what you ever thought and what you ever imagined, it's even more amazing when you learn about the cruise ship. We had a cruise in the Greek islands. It was four nights, three days, whatever it was, and we were told that it was going to be kind of a bit more like a Cook Strait ferry, and we thought, okay, well, it's all right, it's cheap, but you know, within our budget, it's still going to get us around the islands. It'll be all right. There'll be food and a bed. Well, when we went on to this little cruise ship called the Sea Diamond, which sank, not with us on board, but later on, this little cruise ship was just amazing. It was beautiful. It was just amazing. We thought, this is far better than a Cook Strait ferry. You know, the food was amazing. It was just fantastic. So the thing is, knowing who you're in and getting to know who you're in makes being in Him far the more glorious. Yeah, right. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And so let's look at this. As for you, he's talking about us, right? As for you, let's all read it together. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Oh, not too quick. In which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of this ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Next one. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Next one. But because of His great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ When we even when we were dead in transgressions, sorry about that, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, but is the gift of God. Sorry about the stumblings there and amongst that. But isn't that amazing? I mean, just to go over that and over that and over that. And this morning I've just been going over and over that passage, those verses, and in Colossians 2, verse 8 to 15. And you just go over it and you just, my goodness, it's just so amazing. You just have to stop and think and ponder and meditate. Then you go back to it again, and then you just think, ponder, and meditate. And you're seeing yourself as a new creation. You're seeing yourself in the early verses as what you were. Some people try to deny that, but it's what we were. And now what we are. And it's so amazing. It's so phenomenal that it takes time to grasp it. It takes time to say, could this possibly be true? Absolutely, it's true. But the soul and the mind and the heart need to, over time, come into alignment with it. And the more we come into alignment with it and come into agreement with it, the more it releases joy, the more it releases a sense of astonishment, the more it releases a sense of profound gratitude that he didn't leave us what and how we were, but he's actually brought us now into himself. And the wonder of that is truly, truly wonderful. And so I'm going to go to it in the... can I get rid of this microphone? Sorry, I'm still working with... Yeah, anyway. Probably wasn't even turned on. I don't know. There we go. Your old habits, eh? I'm going to go to it in the Passion translation. You even know which is upside down with this thing. Excuse me. Passion translation. Are you ready?
Yes.
Sorry, I've got access through here. This is how Dr. Simmons and his team translates this Ephesians chapter 2. And his fullness fills you. Oh, look, it's up there. And his fullness fills you. You can read with me if you like. Even though we were once like corpses. Kind of sounds like the Presbyterian church I was in when I was a kid. You just didn't sound that convinced. That was all. Sorry, I've got to get back on track here. It wasn't that long ago. Where are we? It wasn't that long ago that you lived in the religion, the customs, and the values of this world, obeying the dark ruler of the earthly realm who fills the atmosphere with his authority and works diligently in the hearts of those who are disobedient to the truth of God. The corruption that was in us from birth was expressed through the deeds and desires of our self-life. Hang on. I had to turn the page. Okay, let's go again. Ready? One, two. We lived by whatever natural cravings and thoughts our minds dictated, living as rebellious children, subject to God's wrath like everyone else. Not a good position to be in. Verse 4, but God still loved us with such great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins, he united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. He raised us up with Christ and the Exalted One and we ascended with him into the glorious perfection and authority of the heavenly realm. It's in italics because that's what's inferred, or at least it is in my one. For we are now co-seated as one with Christ. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which was showered upon us in Christ Jesus. For it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. Let's just stop there. Isn't that amazing? We are reading the revelation from the Holy Spirit to the apostle to the Gentiles of who we were and who we now are. How does this relate to baptism? Totally relates to baptism. We'll read that in Colossians. What verse were we up to? Okay, ready to go again? You okay? You can handle this reading it together, can we? Yeah. Because when you hear it from your own mouth, it's going to do more than just hearing it from my mouth. Okay? For it was only through the wonderful grace that we, that verse 8, for it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did, oh, we've read this, haven't we? Verse 9. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or of human striving. Verse 10. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. Verse 11. So don't forget that you were not born as Jews and were uncircumcised. Circumcision itself is just a work of man's hands. You had none of the Jewish covenants and laws. You were foreigners to Israel's incredible heritage. You were without the covenants and prophetic promises of the Messiah, the promised hope, and without God. Wow. Don't forget that. The apostle says, don't forget that. Verse 13. Yet look at you now. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm looking at you now. Look at you now. Look at you now. Everything is new. Although you were once distant and far away from God, not now, you have been brought delightfully close to him through the sacred blood of Jesus. You have actually been united to Christ. Whoa! Oh. Verse 14. Our reconciling peace is Jesus. He has made Jew and non-Jew one in Christ. By dying as a sacrifice, he has broken down every wall of prejudice that separate us and has now made us equal through our union with Christ. Ethnic hatred has been dissolved by the crucifixion of his precious body on the cross. The legal code that stood condemning every one of us has now been replaced by his command. His triune essence has made peace between us by starting over, forming one new race of humanity, Jew and non-Jews fused together. And we could read on and on and on, because Ephesians is just so wonderful. And so I would love to go back and pick up a number of things there, but I want to go into Colossians chapter 2. You know, if you're going to commit any passages of Scripture to memory, which I encourage you to do, Ephesians is loaded. And Ephesians 2 is who you were and who you are. Okay? So that's your title deed. That's your birth statement. That's your who you are now statement. It declares who you were outside of Christ. And if you're outside of Christ, you can't lay claim to the blessings that are in Christ until you come into Christ. Some people are trying to apply the blessings of Christ to everybody in the world. It doesn't apply to everybody in the world. It's offered to everybody in the world, but it's conditional on coming into faith in the living Christ. And that happens because he influences our hearts and gives us grace to believe in him in the first place. And even more so if you're a Calvinist. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. I'm just going to read this myself. All right? Verse 8, and then I might get you to go back and we'll repeat some verses. Colossians, another very, very important letter, pushing back on some very key things that were trying to creep into the church at the time, and still does. I'll read from verse 8, Colossians chapter 2, Passion Translation. Beware that no one, that's my gore accent there, beware. Spent a couple of years in Southland. Beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom when they're filled with endless arguments of human logic. For they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindsets of this world or this world's system and not the anointed truths of the anointed one. For he is the complete fullness of deity. Jesus is the complete fullness of the Godhead, that's another way of putting it, or all who God is in human form. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a teacher. He's not just a good man. He's not just a miracle worker. Many of the religions of the world will honor him for those things, but in Christ, we don't honor him for those things only. We honor him as the Son of the living God and the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form who walked and moved among us. Big distinction. Verse 9, for he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form. And our own completeness, this is the issue, and our own completeness is now found in him. People are running all over the place looking for fulfillment, looking for completeness, looking for something to build them up, looking for something to give them meaning, looking for something that is true, something that will bring them peace. But I want to tell you this, our fullness, our completeness is in Christ. There's no other source of ultimate peace. There's no other source of eternal joy. There's no other source of eternal life. There's no other source of true forgiveness and inner transformation. There's no other source but Jesus Christ himself. For he is the complete... Sorry, I've read that. And our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Wow. There's some things happening on the earth right now that really annoy me. Some agendas, some oligarchs that are just trying to take control of nations and reshape societal thinking. It really annoys me. But I also know that that's only temporary. Whatever system, whatever oligarch, whatever dictator, whatever attempt to restart or all of those terminologies that are used, they are all temporary. We've got to keep focused on the fact that we are in the one who is supreme over all. And all of those dominions, all of those domains will eventually completely bow the knee to him, and he will have total superiority in demonstrable manner on the earth. And that's what we've got to stay focused on. Because I can get really annoyed. Verse 11. Through our union with him. Everybody say, through our union with him. We have experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. Who accomplished it? Who accomplished it? Who accomplished it? For who? For us. I didn't have to do it for myself. I couldn't have done it for myself. I had no power to do it for myself. I had no ability to do it for myself. But Christ has done it for me. He's cut away that dominion of sin that tried to rule me. He cut away that old broken heart. He's dealt with it. He's cut it away. He's cut away the tendency to be easily led into sin. He's cut that away. He's circumcised my heart. The covenant sign for the Israelites was circumcision in the flesh. The male genital with the foreskin cut off. No children here, so I can explain it a little more. It's in the Bible. You can read it. Did it on the eighth day. When the K factor was at its highest level, so the blood would congeal well on the eighth day. They know that now. They didn't then. They just obeyed God. Went into the temple, dedicated the sons, and they were circumcised on the eighth day. Congealing factor in the blood was the highest point in a child's lifetime on the eighth day. God says, do it on the eighth day. You can ignore his wisdom if you like, thinking you know more, but you'll find his wisdom is always the best wisdom. Science will catch up. True science, that is. Not the manipulated science that's currently being projected in the world right now. Right, through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision. Verse 12, for we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised Jesus from the death. Let's read it for me, verse 12. For we've been buried with him into his death. Our baptism into death also means we were raised with him when we believed in God's resurrection power, the power that raised Jesus from death's realm. This realm of death describes our former state. For we were held in sin's grasp, but now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return. For we are forever alive and forgiven of all of our sins. My goodness, if you want to get anything into your spirit, get this into your spirit. Get this into your spirit. Get this into your heart, my goodness. Wow. Verse 14. He cancelled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed on his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Oh, my goodness. So when these people get baptized today, what we're celebrating and what they're demonstrating is their belief in Jesus, the Son of God, who died for them. And they're also believing in the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost that raised Jesus from the dead. And it's a demonstration of, to a degree, what's already happened, But because, unfortunately, in our Western world, we have tended to separate, you know, somebody receiving Christ and getting saved and then baptism down the track further, really it would be great if we could do it all in one hit, one demonstration, one receiving Christ and then baptized in the same day, because the baptism demonstrates in an outward sign of what has happened internally, but also what has happened spiritually and what has happened in terms of the records of heaven. You see, in the records of heaven, yep, nearly time. In the records, I thought your hand moved. Was there another? No, you're just getting a lolly. Okay, sorry. See, in the records of heaven, every person outside of Christ hasn't received Christ, has still got an arrest warrant on them. They're still in sin's grip. They're still in the grip of the spirit of disobedience that works in the son, or the people of disobedience who haven't yielded to Christ, who haven't received him as his Lord and Savior. So that grip is still upon their life. But when we come to Christ, when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, and that grace of God comes into effect in our life, faith lays hold of the ability of God, and that grace flows into us, or the grace has flowed into us and then we're able to believe. Both are true. And then we are literally translated in the heavenly records, out of sin's grip, out of death's realm, into the realm of Jesus Christ, into the kingdom of God. That's who we are now. We are sons of the kingdom, daughters of the kingdom. Are we fully mature? I don't know anybody yet who is. We're on the journey of maturation. But here's the deal. We've already been transferred. And so when we see those people go into that water today, we are watching a burial. We are watching them identify with Christ's death. And the power of identification in the scriptures in Colossians and Ephesians is incredibly powerful. Good to study it out. The print of who we are in him, in him, in him, in him, all of those, all the co-language, co-crucified, co-buried, co-buried, co-resurrected, co-seated. All the co-language in those letters are so powerfully important. They're so rich. Yep. And so we're now joined, and you'll see these people go into the water like they're going into a tomb. They're dead. That old Adam, that old Adamic situation in nature, going into that, and they're identifying with Christ's crucifixion. They're identifying with the fact that Jesus went to the cross for them. And sin was laid, their sin was laid upon him, and he was judged for it, and the wrath of God was poured out on him. The rightful punishment for that sin was meted out on Christ. Christ died, was denailed from the cross, placed into that tomb, and then on that third day, raised to life again. The power of God came into him, resurrected his body, not just brought him back to life, but resurrected him in glory as a sign that that sin offering was totally and fully adequate, among other things. So when these people come out of this water, they're identifying with the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection of life, the resurrected identity, the resurrected realm in which they live in, the resurrected kingdom, and the kingdom of the resurrection which they have access into by faith. We're celebrating a whole lot of stuff today. We're celebrating new creations being born. Yeah, come on. That's right. We're celebrating the death to that old Adamic line. We're celebrating life in the line of Christ. The new, they're becoming part of the species of humanity that will live forever in the presence of God. What we are witnessing today is a demonstration of the gospel. From death to life, via faith, repentance, and trust, and yielding to Jesus. I want to tell you, it's a celebration today. Let's all head out to the baptism tank. There'll be opportunity to give your life to Christ out at the tank. And if you want to get baptized today, you can. If you come to faith in Jesus today and you want to be baptized today, we can stretch you. We'll put some more water in there. We'll get you down under that water. You identify with Jesus' death and resurrection, and that'll be awesome. So, Father, we thank you for everybody who's being baptized today. We thank you, Lord, for this powerful demonstration that's being acted out right in front of us. But we also thank you for the spiritual realities that are being sealed and each of these lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.